I was told I have to preach from this, but I may get a little bit afraid of heights if I stand up here for too long. I know that today we're just beginning VBS, but I'm excited to share with you something that's coming up very soon, and it's an evangelistic effort, and we're calling it Christ-Centered Summer. For the month of July, let's ourselves as well as invite our neighbors to put Jesus first together. I wonder what could change in the span of 1 month, the month of July, if we made a concerted effort and if our neighbors made a concerted effort to put Jesus first. And so throughout the month, we're going to try and provide some resources that can help us to put Jesus first, maybe as a starting point for someone's life, or perhaps as a continuation in a journey of faith as we're building lives for God. This will have several components. The main one will be sort of daily devotional guides where every day throughout the month we can grow closer to Jesus. We're going to provide some readings and some prayer prompts that are based on those readings. And then Daniel and Philly and I are going to work together to produce some social media videos that we'll release throughout the month of July that will guide us through these devotionals, these Bible readings and prayer starters. We need your help, not only in participating, but in sharing these messages. And maybe this can get out in front of someone who really needs to put Jesus first, just like you and I need to. But in addition to that, on Thursday, July 16th at 6:30 p.m., we're going to meet together as we did last year at Gene Record Park for what we're calling Christ-Centered Summer in the Park. Bring your lawn chairs and enjoy a relaxed evening in the park. We're going to have some food. We're going to have some kids' activities. We're going to have some singing. And we're going to have a brief Bible message that's all great for the whole family. Yeah, it's going to be warm, but we did it last year and 150 of us showed up. And we're looking forward to another opportunity. This is peak time at Gene Record because so many of our friends and neighbors and some of you are going to be out there already anyway because of soccer practice that's going on. So on Thursday, July 16th, that's coming up. Then the next Sunday after that, on Sunday, July the 19th, we're going to have another one more weekend. The second of this year, we're going to have four total, the Lord willing, before December. And this one is all going to be centered around the notion of Jesus is why I forgive. So you see what we're doing here. We're kind of building some interest through social media. And then we're going to come to the park on Thursday. And hopefully through Thursday's invitations, we're going to have more guests with us on Sunday, July the 19th. And finally, we're going to end this with a family conference. Saturday and Sunday, August 1st and 2nd. This is a new take on Youth Day, and we're not taking anything away from Youth Day. We're adding some things to Youth Day, and we're renaming it the Family Conference. So it seems to me that interested individuals who have been going through making Jesus first in their lives throughout the month of July just might be interested in joining us for the Family Conference, August 1st and 2nd. It's a great way to end this sort of concentrated emphasis through practical Bible-based encouragement for every stage of life. We're going to have cards that are supposed to be coming in sometime this week. I think maybe they'll be here around Tuesday. And our hope is that we can give some of those cards to some of our neighbors and guests who will be with us for VBS later this week. It's a month to grow closer to Jesus. Now, we don't have to wait till July to start that, but we're going to focus this effort in the month of July, Christ-Centered Summer, and the cards will say it as well, but you can find more information on our website, hendersoncoc.com/summer, and all of this information will be right there. We've all been to construction sites that look something like what this platform looks like today. Orange cones, caution tape, sawdust, nails, screws all over the place, loud noises. Before things look finished, they often look messy. I think you'll find as this week goes on that this up here is going to get a little different from one night to the next. you may be amazed at how quickly things progress. Nevertheless, I think that sometimes our spiritual lives feel the same way. I think we often struggle. We have weaknesses. We have areas that need our attention. And the gospel reminds us, as Christians, we're not finished products. In fact, Paul goes so far as to say this to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are God's building. But sometimes if I think that I'm God's building, I'm not quite sure I've received the certificate of occupancy yet. I don't know if I quite live up to code quite yet. So let's consider what it means to be under construction, to build lives for God, as we look in sort of a broad way at some things that we're going to look at with some specificity beginning this evening at 5 and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 6. Number one, we turn our attention to Romans 8, verse 29, and we are reminded that God has a blueprint for every Christian. But please notice the way that I've worded this. God has a blueprint for every Christian. Is it true that God has a plan for your life? Well, with some specifics, I'm not totally sure. You know, are you going to choose this career or that career? If you honor God, I think God's good with either. Are you going to pursue a family and marriage, or are you going to remain single? Well, I think as long as you honor God, God is good with either. But God does have a plan for your life and for mine. It's the same plan. It's a blueprint. And when I come to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul gives us in somewhat of a summary fashion what this is. He says, for those whom he, God, foreknew, he also predestined. Now, boy, our religious friends and neighbors get all excited about words like these, foreknew, predestined. And there are even some who have taken verses like Romans 8, verse 29, and used it to teach things that I don't really believe the Bible teaches. Foreknew, those whom he foreknew, those. So we have a plurality of individuals that are being addressed, and to me, just sort of Cliff's notes here, to me, what he's talking about is those, a group of people, to borrow from the vernacular of Ephesians chapter 1, those who are in Christ Jesus. And he's already said that in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, to those who are called according to his purpose. Those who are in Christ, those who love God, those who are doing his purposes, those are the individuals whom now, about whom Paul now says, those whom he foreknew, a knowledge, a preceding knowledge. He also predestined, foreknew and predestined kind of sound like synonyms almost, don't they? Until we break it down a little. Foreknew, we're talking about knowledge, but predestined, we're talking about a destination. There's something that God knew about his people that if they would be his, if they would be in Christ, then they would be predestined. They would be, well, ushered into a certain destination. If the one is about knowledge, the other is about the goal. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined, but to what end? See, sometimes we get so caught up in these words, we don't even look and see what the point is. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What's your purpose? What's the blueprint? The blueprint is that you and I, every day, look a little more like Jesus than we did the day before. God wants his people, those who are in Christ, those who are destined for heaven, to look more like him. Why did he do all this? In order that he might, Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. What's he saying? He's saying that those who are in heaven are those who look like Jesus. But isn't he also saying God did all of this so that he could have a family? Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. God has a blueprint for your life, and that blueprint is Jesus. Not culture, not popularity, not our personal preferences. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the blueprint. And so we need to ask ourselves, even though we have different ages, we come from different backgrounds, we are of different strengths, we have the same blueprint. Every Christian is headed toward the same destination. And I need to ask myself this question: would people who know me describe me as becoming more like Jesus? That's the blueprint. That's the goal. Everything else is secondary. I can use that in ways that can help me become more and more like Jesus, but ultimately, it's about becoming more like Him. My life is under construction. And just because there's some mess doesn't mean it isn't focused. God has a blueprint, and that's to become more like Christ. In the second place this morning, construction happens one day at a time. Don't you wish that you could just sort of snap your fingers, blink your eyes, and the renovation would be over? The construction would be finished. The mess would be cleared. Don't you wish that you could go from dreaming about whatever the project is to its fruition in a matter of hours, if not overnight? But construction takes time. It's a process. And Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Now, in this section, Paul sort of describes Moses and how Moses, when he was up on Mount Sinai, came down and remember, his face was shining? And they said, boy, you need to hide that from us. It's kind of scaring us a little bit. And so Moses veiled his face, and Paul uses that to illustrate that sometimes there are individuals who, because they are not interested in glorifying God, put a veil over their hearts. In fact, he says that the Judaizers in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 15 and following, are doing that very thing. Verse 16, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. But to this day, verse 15, whenever Moses is read, a veil is over their hearts. And so he says in verse 18, here's our goal. We all, with unveiled face, what he's saying is we're removing anything that might hinder our hearts from the truth. We're pursuing it. We're removing any barriers between us and God. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are, here's the point, being, present tense, being transformed into the same image. Notice the link here with what we just looked at in Romans 8:29. It's all about becoming more like the image of Christ, and we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Your translation may say, and I'm told this is more literal, from glory to glory. The ESV Committee of Translators have tried to help us understand, and to me it's helpful, from one degree of glory to another. I can't take in all of the glory of God. In my lifetime, I'm not able to see it all. Remember, Moses said, can I see your glory? And God said, not all at once. You're going to die. You can see the backside of me, whatever that means. Moses couldn't even take it all in. And he comes down and his face is glowing. But we are slowly growing in glory, learning more and more about God and God's will for us. Boy, sometimes I wish I was more mature spiritually than I am. You know, you get in that moment and you think, I know I'm supposed to know what to do right now, but I really don't. I know God's word would give me guidance on this, but I don't know the book, chapter, or the verse. I can't even give you the paraphrase at this moment, but I trust that God has given me the guidance. But we're under construction, and transformation is a process. Spiritual maturity is usually pretty slow. And while we often want instant results, God typically works through daily faithfulness, little decisions that compound over time, like daily Bible reading, regular prayer, repentance, acts of obedience. These are things that over time have a net result that actually proves to be quite maturing. We're progressing. But don't despise the small steps. The person who follows Jesus today will be different next year. Next month, the Lord willing, we're going to do a little experiment to see, okay, if I really intentionally pursue Jesus from July 1 to July 31, what's going to be the difference? And I imagine there will be some difference in your life and in mine. Consistency matters more than intensity does. Construction happens one day at a time. A building doesn't appear overnight. It rises one beam, one wall, one day at a time. And before you know it, you've got the Saunders Center right across the street. Before you know it, there's going to be grass out front. What seemed like it was just crawling along, over time, every little bit matters. Number three, construction sites can be kind of messy. Now, if my life is under construction, then what I'm saying is, sometimes I'm kind of a mess. In Philippians 3, that Vincent read for us a moment ago, Paul speaks to this at verse 12. Now, he says this right after he says in verses 8 and following, nothing is as important to me as Jesus is. Wait a minute, it's almost like what he's saying in Philippians 3, 8 is just like what he was saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I want to be conformed to the image of God's Son. You see, there's a unity here. The blueprint is there. There's something every one of us is striving for. But in the process of that, it can be a little messy. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to gain Christ, verse 8. In verse 9, he says, I'm looking forward to being found in him. And in verse 10 of Philippians 3, he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, and I want to share in his sufferings, and I want to become like him in his death. But in verse 12, he says, but I want you to understand something. I'm not there yet. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. I'm giving it my all, strenuous effort. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Don't you love that? Jesus accepted me and took me in. He made me his. And now knowing him is what I'm all about. Suffering with him is what I'm all about. Being with him one day is ultimately what I'm all about. But in the process, it's kind of messy. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own quite yet, but one thing I do. You ever have those moments where you decide you're going to take on a project? Maybe it's late spring cleaning, right? Summer has happened by now. We're in summertime now. But, early summer cleaning then, let's call it that. And you go into the guest room closet and you think, what happened here? No one even lives in this room. And you start getting it all out, and you spread it all out everywhere, and then you get right in the middle of that messy middle, and you look around and you think, what have I done? I'm not sure I have time to clean it up, but I have to clean it up because it can't stay like this. And so you're just in it for the long haul. You go make you some coffee, you figure it out. There was a point this week with the VBS decorating team. They thought, what have we done? Where is all this stuff going to go? We need more signs and more magic tape or whatever it is. Construction is messy. And so Paul sort of counters that by saying, I'm going to focus on one thing, pursuing Jesus. One thing I do, he says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I can't lose sight of my goal. I can't lose sight of the blueprint. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there are setbacks, aren't there? Failures, giving in to temptation, weaknesses, disappointments, things don't go the way that we thought that they would. We get halfway through and we realize our plan that we originally had isn't going to work. But God's not surprised by our unfinished condition. Through his gospel, he calls us, and he knows what he's getting when he's calling us. But he wants us to appreciate what we're getting into when we respond to that call. It's not instant change. It's a period of transformation. And in order for us to construct a life that is built with and for God, we realize there's going to have to be some demolition. We're going to have to take some things down. So we measure our direction and not merely our distance. And we regularly ask, am I pursuing Christ today? See, being under construction is an evidence of failure. In fact, refusing to grow would be the failure. Let me just mention briefly that God will use every tool necessary to shape you and me. In James chapter 1, he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith actually produces steadfastness. And so you need to let steadfastness or patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking in nothing. God will use every tool. How does God shape our hearts? Well, he shapes our hearts through his word. He shapes our hearts through his people. He shapes our hearts through his providence. He shapes our hearts through the trials that he allows for us. He doesn't tempt us, but he allows for us to experience difficulties. And through that, we can make decisions that say, as we prayed a moment ago, God, I'm putting you first. I'm putting you first on Sunday. I'm going to put you first every day. And these are tools that God is using to shape us in our lives into who he wants to be, us to be. Instead of just asking, why is this happening? I'm not sure that that's an unfair question. I think it's probably a very human question. But maybe in addition to that question, we could ask this. How might God be using this to make me more like Jesus? How can I, in this circumstance, glorify God and become more like Jesus? The last thing that I want to share with you this morning about our lives being under construction is a word of assurance. God finishes what he starts. You may feel under construction right now, and nobody likes that feeling, right? Everything's upended, nothing's quite where it ought to be. And sometimes in the middle, we think, we kind of lose heart, and we begin to think, I don't know if I can see this through to the end. On your own, you can't. But God finishes what he starts. And if you stay with him, you're going to have to make that choice. He will see it through to the end. Back to Philippians, this time in chapter 1, we look at verse 6. Paul says, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. In context, Paul has been talking about the partnership in the gospel in which they have invested with Paul. I mean, it was a monetary investment. Here was the church in Philippi, and they were very much a central part of the monetary support that Paul received. The project, Paul admits, belongs to God. He supplies the power, and we cooperate. God never abandons his work. There are people who give up on us, but God doesn't. There are people who fail to believe in us, but God doesn't. One day, the construction will be complete. No more temptation. No more weakness. No more struggle. Perfect conformity to Christ. So don't quit. Don't lose heart. Keep following Jesus because God is still at work. God finishes what he starts. Imagine visiting a construction site that is halfway through the project. You walk around and you see a lot of things that are exposed that you wouldn't see in the finished product. There's wiring everywhere. There are walls that you can see right through. You see the studs, but the drywall's not there. There's dirt and debris all over the place. If you judge the building at that moment, you would miss what it's becoming. And sometimes we do that with ourselves and with others. We stop too short. We evaluate as if something is complete, but it isn't. None of us is complete. God sees the finished work. He sees what His grace is producing. He sees men and women and of all ages and backgrounds, people who are being transformed into the image of His Son. The question is not today, are you finished? Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You won't be finished until God calls you home. The question is your life in the hands of the master builder? Are you building like the wise man or the foolish man? Are you building on the rock of Jesus? If you belong to Jesus, then take heart. You're under construction. Things always look messy at first. But over time, one day at a time, progress. We align closer and closer to the blueprint. And before long, after a little while, we'll enjoy completion in Christ when we get over there. Maybe this morning you feel like there's some construction that needs to happen in your life. Maybe you're realizing that there are big walls that you've built in your life that are actually hindering you. They're supporting a structure, but it's the wrong kind of structure. They're creating, if you will, a veil between you and God, and those things need to be knocked down. Would you hear the message of the gospel that says, as we've been discussing this morning, none of us is a finished product. So come to Jesus and let Him work on your life. Be transformed into the image of Christ by hearing His message, having faith that He is who He says He is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then start breaking down those walls in repentance. Confess that Jesus is Lord and make Him your Lord by following what He says. And begin that journey with Him by dying with Him in the waters of baptism. The old self is washed away. He's dead, she's dead, buried in that watery grave, and a new you comes out of the water, rising to walk in a brand new life. This morning, if that isn't your reality, we invite you to make it so today. Jesus invites you to make it so today. Maybe you feel like your construction site as a Christian has taken some wrong turns. You've deviated from the blueprint. You've been pursuing the wrong goals. Maybe there are some things as a brother or a sister in Jesus that you need now to undo in order to go back to the original blueprint and to follow more carefully the instructions of God through His Word. Come and confess sin and be assured that He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. The invitation is yours and mine. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. And we invite you to do that now while we stand in